From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The space shuttle Atlantis blasted off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida today.
3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff of space shuttle.
The six astronauts are now on their way to the International Space Station. NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports.
The crew of Space Shuttle Atlantis includes 3 first-time space flyers. The team is expected to arrive at the station on Wednesday. Astronauts will install 2 new platforms onto the station that are loaded with critical spare parts, things like gyroscopes and nitrogen tank assemblies. This backup hardware should keep the space station going long after NASA retires its fleet of space shuttles next year and loses the ability to bring up big, heavy replacement equipment. The Atlantis astronauts will spend about a week at the station. With them for the return home will be Nicole Stott, an astronaut who's been living at the station for more than 2 months. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
President Obama is in Beijing, where he is preparing to meet with Chinese President Hu Jintao. Earlier, he told a group of students in Shanghai that unrestricted internet access in the U.S. is a major source of strength, and he said an open exchange of information makes all countries stronger. It's likely the two leaders will avoid any public disagreement on economic issues during the president's visit. China remains the U.S.'s largest lender. In a new internal report, United Nations nuclear inspectors accuse Iran of covering up more uranium enrichment activities than previously thought. Terry Schultz has more.
Inspectors conclude the new Fordo plant near the city of Qom has been under construction for several years, while Iran only admits to beginning in 2007. This lack of transparency, the IAEA says, means it can't rule out there are other such sites, which Iran is required by the United Nations to declare. The nuclear watchdog is traditionally very cautious, so analyst Olivier Guita says this critical assessment of Tehran's activities should help convince the governments of Russia and China, who are hesitant to support more UN sanctions on Tehran.
The Russians could not say it's a U.S. body or an EU body that is pushing their agenda at this point.
The inspectors estimate the new plant will be able to produce about a ton of enriched uranium per year, starting in 2011. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The nation's economy is showing some signs of improvement, though Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told an audience at the Economic Club of New York because of the various headwinds, the economy remains in a dicey position.
Today, financial conditions are considerably better than they were then, but significant economic challenges remain. The flow of credit remains constrained, economic activity weak, and unemployment much too high.
The nation's unemployment rate reached 10.2% last month. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 136 points. The Nasdaq closed up 29 points today. This is NPR. The nation's retailers had a bit more to smile about in October. Based on the latest government numbers, retail sales were up 1.4% last month. And even excluding the often volatile transportation sector, which includes autos, sales were up 0.2%. However, the government revised its September sales numbers to show a larger than initially reported decline. The latest numbers show the seesaw nature of the economy at the moment. Sales by retailers are closely watched by economists, and spending by consumers makes up the bulk of U.S. economic activity. The nation's largest publisher of newspapers serving the gay and lesbian community has closed more than a year after its majority owner landed in federal receivership. The Washington Blade and Southern Voice are two of its biggest casualties. From member station WABE in Atlanta, Odette Youssef reports.
Window Media LLC, in conjunction with Unite Media, owns 6 papers in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and South Florida. The majority investor, Avalon Equity Partners, started getting in real trouble over loans from the Small Business Administration. Laura Douglas Brown, editor of Southern Voice in Atlanta, had no idea the problems would end this way.
We had all been led to believe that what that would eventually mean for us is that the publications, either individually or those owned by Window Media, would be sold off.
Some employees learned of the closure via text message. Others didn't know until they arrived at work this morning and found the Atlanta office closed. The Washington Blade recently celebrated its 40th anniversary and bills itself as the nation's oldest gay and lesbian newspaper. For NPR News, I'm Odette Youssef in Atlanta.
Crude oil futures rose $2.55 a barrel to close at $78.90 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.